Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week.
I should have known. Why did I not know? Did nobody know that this is the biggest killer of young people in our country?
Life is for living, it's not for surviving. And too many people get up each day just trying to survive. And we've got to do better.
But I think that's where I want to thank all your listeners. Every single person who's been involved in this, you know, because politicians are the voice of the people. And actually, it's the people speaking and using that voice to tell politicians what they think that makes a difference.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
And I've been on the road for Mental Health Monday this week, representing the Where's Your Head At campaign in the Houses of Parliament. Now, you know me, I've been covering mental health and doing the podcast since 2017. In 2018, the group that I work for, the Bauer Media Group, launched the Where's Your Head At campaign, a petition, to start off with, to encourage people to support the idea of workplace first aiders from a mental health point of view in every workplace across the country, so that every workplace, no matter where you are across the UK, there would be a mental health first aider trained to react and respond, but also proactively act and respond to improve the health and well-being, to improve the mental health and well-being of staff. A real revolution when it was first mentioned at the time, but as we'll hear, more and more people are now coming on board to this idea, and we're getting closer and closer to achieving our goal. More than 200,000 people so far have signed that petition, which is absolutely fantastic, and we take that very seriously in terms of trying to get that change and to take this forward. So whenever there's a conversation around mental health within the workplace, absolutely Where's Your Head At is hopefully going to be front and centre, as we were this week when we headed down to Parliament. Now, the MP Dean Russell, who is a Member of Parliament for Watford, he's a Where's Your Head At ambassador, has been driving a bill through Parliament, so we've been sort of championing his cause. He was also, just this week, hosting an event on behalf of the Baton of Hope on the Terrace Pavilion, just outside the House of Commons, just by the River Thames, an incredible place. And Where's Your Head At was invited down to take part. The event was about raising awareness of the Baton of Hope and the work that they're doing with their tour, which is coming across the country, as we'll hear, between the end of June and the start of July, organised by Mike McCarthy, who he himself has lost a son to suicide, and he's really passionate about breaking the stigma around talking about suicide and really challenging those numbers that we see each and every year when it comes to people's lives lost to suicide. So we'll hear from Mike as part of the conversation. Baton of Hope have also got their own workplace wellbeing charter that they're encouraging businesses to sign up to. We'll hear about that too. We'll hear from Dean Russell himself about the political steps that we're taking to get the Where's Your Head At campaign goals, but also these much wider campaign goals over the line from a political point of view. And we'll be hearing from the friend of the podcast, Dr. Alex George, who's a brilliant ambassador to talk about mental health within those political worlds and forward-facing within the social media world, targeting young people, and really raising awareness of this as a conversation, which he's doing alongside campaigner Chris Murray, who will also join us on the podcast. Hopefully over the next few months, we'll be hearing plenty more from these guys as we continue to push forward with the goals of Where's Your Head At, to join and collaborate with these amazing groups and organisations and to play our part into really making a difference and ultimately changing the way that workplaces think and act around mental health, not just as a box-ticking exercise, but actually something that sees the genuine benefits for the businesses and their employees. So it's been a really great week. Let's hear what I got up to when I headed down to Parliament. Yeah, the home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday, and we are out and about today. And actually, we're in a very privileged position of being in the Houses of Parliament. We're actually on the Terrace Pavilion overlooking the River Thames, and we're here at an event which has been organised alongside Dean Russell, the MP, who we've spoken to before about our work with Where's Your Head At, but also the organisation Baton of Hope, who we've also heard about as part of the podcast with the fantastic work that they're doing to raise awareness of the suicide crisis we have in this country. You could call it a pandemic, but the work that's been done to try and change that, to tackle stigma and really make a difference. One of the co-founders with us now, Mike McCarthy. And Mike, thank you so much for your time. First and foremost, a day like today,
in a place like this just goes to show that these conversations around reducing suicide, these conversations around improving mental health and well-being, they're happening in the right places for change to come. Here we are in Parliament with this conversation taking place.
Yeah, it's very heartwarming and uplifting to have so much traction, if that's the right word, with MPs. You know, we lost our son 2 years ago, and it was only then that we recognised the stigma that still surrounds suicide and talking about suicide and suicide prevention. So something like this today, a public event when people are talking about it openly, honestly, with transparency, gives me, and I'm sure will give, you know, parents and families like ours around the country, real hope that change is coming.
When you lost your son, you obviously thought, I need to do something, and you felt a sense of that's what you had to do. In fact, that was almost an instruction you felt that you received. Here you are, a relatively short period of time later, meeting with the Chancellor of the Exchequer. I noticed you speaking to you before. Does it feel like you're doing it? Does it feel like it's happening?
Well, it doesn't feel like I'm doing it, because it's not me doing it. There's a whole group of us who are doing it, but it does feel kind of surreal. You know, hey, I'm talking to the Chancellor, he's talking to me, how did that happen? And yeah, this whole day, I think once I go home, you know, sitting on the train later, maybe I'll think, did that really happen? You know, was it real? And it is real. And, you know, for me on a personal level, my son, when he died, he wrote a letter, a 12-page letter, addressing the family, each one of us in turn, and he said, please fight for mental health, the support is just not there. So the fact that in his dying moments he saw that there was a cause to be championed, and cause to be championed in a world that he wouldn't be part of, kind of fills me with pride. He did the wrong thing. Suicide is never the answer. Let's be absolutely clear about that. It's never the answer. But I can't help but be proud of the selflessness that he showed in the letter. So I've got all the sort of motivation that I need, and all the drive that I need to make sure that I try and honour his wish, you know, for the rest of my life.
I mean, anyone who experiences a tragedy, you know, such as losing a child to suicide, you can completely understand if you said, you know what, we're going to turn inward now, we're going to look out for ourselves, and we're going to try and find a way forward together. For you to turn outward in the way that you have, to engage with the mental health community in the way that you are, to drive for the change in the way that you are as well, does that take strength? Is there an element of is there an element of naivety to it? Do you feel like, or is it just a case of, you know what, let's see what difference we can make?
I think, yeah, you probably touched on it there with the word naivety. I mean, little did we know when we set this charity up a year ago that within a year, you know, we'd be talking to the Speaker of the House of Commons in his private quarters here at the Palace of Westminster, that there would be, you know, as I say, the Chancellor and dozens of MPs here today to support what we're doing, that we would introduce a workplace charter that encourages employers to carry out best practice when it comes to suicide prevention in the workplace, that we'd have a national conference, that we'd have a 12-day tour of the United Kingdom with a baton that was specially made by goldsmiths and silversmiths to the royal household. It, you know, if people sort of wonder why it feels like a dream, well, that's exactly why. But yeah, we just seem to have achieved so much. And I think that what's really struck me about the past year is that there's something in the air. Something's changing. I think people are ready now to talk about some of those taboo subjects that have been swept under the carpet. There's an enormous amount to do. Those suicide statistics in the United Kingdom have stagnated for 15 years. And most of the professionals, most of the experts, the senior clinicians accept that suicide is preventable. So if it's preventable, let's prevent it. You know, let's do it. The biggest killer of under 35s in this country. And, you know, I was a journalist by profession, and And I realised too late that, you know, it is the biggest killer of our young people in this country. All that life, all that hope, and all that potential that, that we're losing. And one of the things is that as a journalist, I often try to get people to talk to me when they were at particularly traumatic moments in their lives, you know, whether it's, I don't know, after the Ariana Grande terrorist bombing or whatever, you know. And it struck me that I now can't hide away. You know, I've got to front up in the way that I hoped those people would, that I spoke to in the past, those inspirational people. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Just, how does that make you feel when the cameras start rolling and the microphones come in front of you? Do you feel a sense of almost duty to tell that story, or do you maybe rethink about maybe the questions you asked of people who found themselves in difficult places, you know, in the past? Because that's a big shift, isn't it?
It's all of those things, really, you know, what I've just said about, you know, feeling responsibility because, you know, I've interviewed people on the other side of the microphone, as it were. And, yeah, just in my life as a journalist, I never really came across suicide. It didn't sort of cross my radar. And all of these things that I'd covered, you know, wars, terrorist atrocities, floods, sport, politics, you name it. And after we lost our son, Ross, I kind of felt, you know, it was too late to realise that I should have known. Why did nobody know that this is the biggest killer of young people in our country? You know, why is it the biggest killer of men under 50? Because 3/4 of the people who take their lives are men. So I kind of now feel it's partly my responsibility, along with some wonderful people who, you know, on board with the Baton of Hope, just to raise awareness, open a conversation. You know, let's smash the stigma. It's time for change. It's time to really open up, because it's only when you open up that you realise that, you know, there is help out there, there is support out there, and we want to shine a light on that help and support.
We mentioned the word and the phrase Baton of Hope. This isn't just a brand, this is a physical thing. There is a baton. It looks a little bit like an Olympic-style baton. It's a good size, and I bet it weighs quite a bit. If people hear about the Baton of Hope, that's nothing compared to when someone runs past them carrying a Baton of Hope. And there's this tour, which is very soon going to be getting underway. 12 cities, 12 days. This is a really big undertaking, but also it's a physical undertaking. People can physically go and see a baton coming through their town.
Yeah, they can physically go and see it. Hundreds of people have applied to carry it, and it's been just the most humbling thing to see people posting on social media, excited videos. Oh, I've been accepted, you know. It's really been quite humbling to see how much it means to people, and we expect there to be many moments of, you know, emotion when people reflect and they honour the person that they've lost, and that they recognise that if we all come together, that there is hope for other people who find themselves in that same dark place. But yeah, and you know, when you think about it, there are lots of symbols out there that represent physical well-being. Shields, trophies, we're all familiar with them in every sport. But what's out there that celebrates mental well-being? Well, this does. This is not about death and despair. It's about life and hope. And if you're one of those people in that dark place, please believe, please stay, even if it's just one more day, because there are people out there who care. You deserve your place on this planet like everybody else, and there are people who are compassionate who want to help you.
And you've hinted at it there, it's not just about the baton itself, the people carrying the baton. It's not just everyone from the public, although the public can get involved. Very personal stories and personal reasons why people thought, I want to be part of that. And I guess we'd encourage people to almost, you know, find out more about the Baton of Hope and find out more about the stories of these people and why they're getting involved as well. You must feel a great sense of pride that you're able to offer these opportunities to people to show a physical way of representing the love or feelings they have towards maybe a loved one that they've lost.
I say it's very humbling, and you know, to think that this is not just a few people, these are hundreds of people from all over the country. I mean, it gives you some idea of the scale, because you know, for every suicide there's a family, there are colleagues, there are schoolmates, there are, you know, friends. And literally hundreds of people affected by each individual suicide. So it's great to know that we can tell people you're not alone. There are so many of us. Let's come together. Let's speak with one voice.
Absolutely. And people can find out more information on the Baton of Hope website. I'll put a link to that on the podcast links and the podcast notes. At the same time, you've also got the reason we're here today. We're talking about a workplace charter. It's been really interesting from my point of view, working on the Where's Your Head At campaign since 2018, with 200,000 people saying, yeah, absolutely, there should be mental health first aiders within the workplace. We've had Brexit, we've had pandemics. 5 years later, we find ourselves in Parliament having conversations like this with other people coming around now saying, OK, what does that physically look like? How do we put that into wording that could become an act of Parliament? What can workplaces do and sign up to now before we wait on the law change as well? And that's a really exciting development as well. And obviously something that you feel is an important thing to do, as well as this major tour you've got coming around the country too.
Yeah, we're about far more, I hope, than awareness. Awareness is vitally important, don't get me wrong. You know, we shouldn't underestimate that, because we're in the early days. We are still using very outdated language even surrounding the whole subject of mental health. We want practical change. You know, I always say to people, yeah, I'll be grieving for the rest of my life. It's an enduring grief. But I don't want sympathy. I want change. You know, we want practical steps to help people in the workplace, in schools, in universities, throughout every sector, in the health service. We can't ignore the fact that the system is very largely broken. It's the twilight service, and we've got to change that. We've got to, you know, help people to understand that mental health is every bit as important as physical health. So we wanted to do something practical. We're starting with a workplace charter, encouraging employers to adopt best practice when it comes to suicide prevention in the workplace. But there will be an education charter, there'll be a political charter, there'll be a media charter. You know, we won't stop here.
Mike, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing so much of your own personal side of that story as well. I think people really associate when they hear a person telling their story. I think it normalizes that conversation. I think also empowers other people to hear the language maybe that you've used and think, okay, maybe I can use that language. So I think that's really powerful. And thank you for speaking to us today.
Thank you.
Well, I'm delighted to say that Dean Russell MP is with us now. Dean is the man who has made today happen. He's the reason we're still on the Terrace Pavilion on the Houses of Parliament, overlooking the River Thames. Dean, you've been so passionate about this as a subject. You've been so supportive of the Where's Your Head At campaign and about mental health within the workplace. And actually, in many ways, you're the guy who the pressure's on to a certain extent, because, of course, politicians are the people who get this over the line for us. You're doing it in a way which is trying to be as sort of collegiate as possible, getting as many people on board. And maybe today's a good example of how many people support this sort of work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just think I'm one of 650 MPs. It's an area that I'm passionate about, and for a load of reasons. But also, we see it in our casework. Every MP, I imagine, will have casework, even if they don't have a personal connection to challenges around mental health. And I think, you know, Where's Your Head At has been amazing in terms of the work that you've done and they've done to really raise the consciousness of this about the workplace, especially, and the importance of the workplace. But also, I think today is a good example where you bring together not just MPs from across the House, but also you bring together experts, you bring together people that are working in this area but may not know each other. And that's what's so important. I think if there's one thing that we need to do about mental health to tackle stigma, it's talking about it. And I think that's what today has helped do.
Now, you've got a bill which is sort of going through Parliament, but there's a system around this. So some people might go, I signed that petition for there to be mental health first aiders within the workplace. It doesn't just become a bill, there will be a mental first aider within the workplace. There's much more complexity around that. Can you give us a sense of what that journey is? I know it's a slightly long journey, but a sense of how our audiences will be able to sort of see that come to life, if you like.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's three parts to it. First of all, it is complicated in Parliament. You know, backbenchers doing bills can often fall at any stage. I was very fortunate with my tips bill. I've been doing a bill to make sure workers get to keep their tips and gratuities, and I've got a private members bill. I won't bore you with all the details, but, you know, we managed to get royal assent on that a few weeks ago, which was incredible, and I worked with my colleague Virginia Crosby on that as well. And that took a year and a half. But actually, in that instance, it was originally talked about back in 2015. So it does take a long time. I think with this, it's about just keeping the public consciousness there about it. I think the second point then is knowing that even if it doesn't get through to the next round, because the type of bill I did, they're quite fragile. So sometimes just because of parliamentary process, it doesn't go through, not necessarily because people don't want it. If that happens, I'll just keep trying. And for me, if there's one thing I like to believe, it's that I don't give up. And I don't intend to give up on this. But the third thing is that it might adapt into something else. You know, actually, at the heart of all the conversations I've had about my mental health first aid in the workplace bill is that actually what people really want is better mental health in the workplace. And so I think that's where the conversations with charities and with Where's Your Head At and the brilliant work that you guys are doing to promote this has been so important, because actually what we might end up with is something even better that wasn't what was originally imagined in the specific point about first aiders, but actually what does that actually mean in the workplace. So I would just say to every single person that's been involved in the petition so far, tell others about it, but keep watching, keep helping support, be positive about this. We can make a difference, and I think that the cat's out of the bag now in terms of making sure that mental health is on the agenda. I haven't met a single politician yet who doesn't agree. The question is how, and I think that's where the debate and the discussion comes, but I'm confident we'll get there. Whether I'm the person, I don't know. It's a bit like today, we're at a baton of hope. It might be that I have to pass the baton on to someone else and help support them in the next stage. But ultimately, you know, this is on us all. And I think working together as a community, we can do that.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, if it is somebody else, there's 100 MPs came in today to sort of show their face and pledge your support to this. So there are voices within Westminster. This is no longer an issue, which it probably was when we first raised it in 2018. Almost something a little bit taboo.
Yeah.
An idea which seemed quite radical in 2018, in 2023, has 100 MPs coming through the door of an event like this. It just goes to show that the normalisation of the conversation around mental health first aid is much more broad now. And actually, as members of the public, we can feel much more open to engage with it, to engage with our workplaces as well with it.
100%. I mean, I think, you know, it's media companies like Bauer Media, actually, who've made a difference on this. You've backed fully the mental health in the workplace and the first aiders work through the petition and Where's Your Head At. But what it really is, it's about the conversation. And I think there's some things that people get, but sometimes mental health in of itself, as was spoken about earlier today, is often seen as a negative thing. It has negative connotations and has stigma around it. The more we talk about it in terms of how we can improve it, the more we can tackle that stigma, the more difference we can make. And you know what? I hope that within my time, you know, over the next year, we can get this over the line in the next 2 years. You know, I'd do it tomorrow or yesterday if I could. But even if it's not me, I'm not going to give up on this. But I know that there'll be many other colleagues in different guises who will help. And I think that's the point, really. But I think that's where I want to thank all your listeners, all your readers, every single person who's been involved in this, you know, because politicians are the voice of the people. And actually, it's the people speaking and using that voice to tell politicians what they think that makes a difference. And I would just add with one final point, if I may, the quote that I've used that, you know, if suicide were a virus, we'd be looking for a vaccine, on a hunt for a vaccine. If loneliness were a disease, we'd be trying to find a cure. And I think that's at the heart of this for me. What is that? What does that vaccine look like? What does that cure look like? That's what the challenge is at the moment, but I think we'll get there, and I think society's changed dramatically to help us get there.
Dean, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Very pleased to say Dr. Alex George joins us now. Dr. Alex, great days like this show that there is a great deal of compassion around the conversation around mental health within the workplace. And actually, there are people in the room who actually want to make things happen, not just as an idea, but actually people here within the corridors of power. You're one of those people as well. Obviously, you know about how these things work in Downing Street. Mm-hmm. How can this turn from goodwill to real genuine change?
Yeah. Well, I think a big part of the baton of hope is actually getting everyone on board and realizing that everyone has a role. I mean, one of my most hated stats that we roll out all the time is 1 in 4 people have mental health. Actually, everyone has mental health. Maybe 1 in 4 have mental illness. But you know what? Even if that is true, every single one of those people that struggle has a family member, a friend, a person in their life that cares about them. And mental health affects the workplace, it affects the home, home life, it affects university, every walk of life. And I think if we can all get together and realise that not only is mental health something to be celebrated, and that actually just like physical fitness, you can work on your mental fitness, but also we can create a world where when people are struggling, they'll ask for help. You know, I lost my brother to suicide now nearly three years, and he may well be here today if the world was a more compassionate place when it came to mental illness, and that someone felt that they could actually get help. Because when someone takes their own life, they make a binary decision that they'd rather leave this planet and never be here or be here no longer rather than get help. And I think that is, if you really think about it, one of the saddest things. And what's amazing about events like this is that we're really taking it to the very top. The Baton of Hope, we're travelling across 12 cities. It's going to be a great opportunity to raise awareness and actually get everyone to realise it's everyone's problem. And not even problem, it's for everyone to celebrate and be part of. But when it comes to illness, it is everyone's issue.
I think people hear these stories as well, and they think, actually, that could be me, or that he's just a guy like me, or that could be someone that I know, or maybe they've got their own personal experience. Our Where's Your Head At campaign has gathered more than 200,000 signatures of people who say, you know what, give people a chance when they go into work. Of course, we all know, put your hard hat on, put your high-vis jacket on, put your hobnail boots on. Where's the support from a mental health point of view? And actually, people are saying, we need the support. So we need to get the steps forward to actually get this in place through campaigns like this.
Well, I'm one of the things I'm working on, there's two big goals I have at the moment. Getting early support hubs funded for children across the country. That will help 500,000 children in England alone. But when it comes to workplace, that's my second big target, is to try and get parity between physical health and physical responsibility of duty of care in the workplace to mental health. You know, we have physical first aiders. You have to have, if you have over 250 staff, you need 1 in 50 of physical first aid. Let's have the same for mental health. You know, under 35, biggest killer, mental illness, okay? You know, you go into the workplace, you start a job, what's one of the first things you have to do? Fire safety training. Why not do training around mental well-being? Training about emotional literacy? You know, give people some understanding about what support is available in the workplace, how to ask for it, and actually create a platform, create a environment that's conducive with genuinely having compassionate, caring people above, you know, in between and below in terms of the business and the hierarchy. And if you can do that, then people will ask for help, they'll get support when they need it. And I think so many people that die every year by suicide will be still here. They won't be here. It won't get to that point. And even better than that, which is my goal with young people, is that I want children to grow up, and I want them, and I always say this, I want them to live and thrive. Life is for living, it's not for surviving. And too many people get up each day just trying to survive, and we've got to do better. Acceptable anymore. It's when enough people get together that the big people can't ignore it, and that's why it's important.
I'm joined now by Chris Murray, who's a fantastic voice when it comes to mental health, suicide prevention. He's a trainer, he raises awareness among whole sections of society. He's at this event today because he's really passionate about the things that are being spoken about. And you've also got a little bit of experience, Chris, around working in these corridors of power. Give us a sense then of how we get change. When people call for change and people agree that change is required, it takes further steps, doesn't it? It takes MPs on board. It takes people to physically write down the words that would go into, say, a bill. And you've kind of experienced in that and having those conversations, which gives you quite a unique view of this, because you have to deal with the realities of what this change will look like.
Yeah, I think you're right. The thing that's most difficult for me in what you said there is the fact that I think, especially in the last 5, 6, 7 years, there has been political will across society, public support for mental health, not just training, first aid training, but mental health well-being and support within the workplace and within society and the services that accompany with that. And I think part of the difficulty with that is that you know, we go through elections, there's cabinet reshuffles, things happen such as like the Ukraine war, the cost of living, and things like that can often push to the back seat. And I think where we are in the last few years is we are a little bit going round in circles, where we're almost, you know, getting campaigns and getting support from MPs and public support and saying, yes, this is the right thing to do. Everyone agrees with it. But I think additional to that is that you have lots of different charities with their own kind of agenda, but in principle everyone has the same aims and objectives, and it's how do you bring everyone together. So it's not just about let's get this momentum, let's get MPs on board, we'll have this debate, we'll tick a box, yes, everyone thinks we should do it, let's move on to the next thing. And I think hopefully with the work that's happening through Dean Russell's bill and with other charities coming on board and a public campaign hopefully over the summer, will mean that more people coming on board means that, you know, we're all on the same page together, and this isn't about one or two or a collection of charities pushing the agenda for everybody else, and actually just everybody coming on board together.
I think that's really, really clear today as well, isn't it? With people in the room almost looking for that laser sharp focus of going, right, we're here now. These things, these conversations started with maybe personal stories of loss. They started with lived experience stories. They started with a petition with 200,000 signatures. Now we're in the room and we're saying, right, how do we push this? How do we get a result now? How do we get this over the line? I think that's a powerful thing to be part of. I can certainly feel like the will is there. And I guess it's about now setting that journey out over the next few months to really getting it spot on.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, like you say, you can see the passion in the room, and it's with all these things that charities are doing. There's so much passion and appetite there, and it's about not losing that momentum. And I think that that's part of the danger with a lot of the campaigns, whether you see it through change.org or through gov.uk, and it gets debated in Parliament, and MPs are like, yeah, we need to do this, but then it quite often feels like, okay, we'll move on to the next petition, next campaign. So it's kind of almost like the what if question. We get to that point, okay, so how do we progress this rather than moving on to the next thing? We need to bring everyone on board with us on this journey. And I think that's part of the work that, you know, through Baton of Hope and other charities that are trying to do.
Absolutely. And Where's Your Head At? We'll be championing that cause throughout. And actually, it's a real pleasure to feel like we're part of that momentum as well, because that momentum is crucial. You know, as you mentioned there, these other issues come in, and it was Brexit and it was the pandemic and all of those things. But throughout that time, the number of people dying by suicide has maintained itself at an incredibly worryingly high level. The number of people who are taking time off work through mental health reasons, stress, anxiety, long-term depression, that's increasing. The cost in the economy is increasing. So actually, all those issues that we raised in 2018 and the issues that have been raised, in many ways, they're even more prominent.
Yeah.
Now, there comes a point, isn't there, where we have to say, now is the time. Now is the time we bring these numbers down. Now is the time we take the action.
Yeah, but if you think about those issues that we just mentioned there, if you think about the war in Ukraine, how that's affected things like the transport industry, the retail farming industry in terms of what we import and export, what impact that has on businesses, and then what impact that has on the mental health of employees. We talk about the cost of living. So you've got low-income families, the energy crisis. So whilst these are all major things, they're all connected and linked to mental health. So how are we supporting people to cope with these, you know, especially those difficult, particularly difficult periods of time, that means that we're not actually worsening the mental health crisis in this country, that people aren't feeling like they don't have the money, they don't have the support through their employer, they're becoming, you know, it's kind of a slippery slope where they're either unhelpful coping mechanisms, they are becoming more in debt because they're struggling to pay for their energy and heating, they turn the heating off, and we know, and again, that can impact the physical health, which, you know, in turn impacts their mental health. So it's a really slippery slope. So it's not just a case that we need to focus on one situation, let's push mental health to the side, because all of these policies, all of these issues, politically especially, are impacting people's physical, mental health and overall well-being.
Chris, I've got a feeling we're going to be having many more conversations over the next few months. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks very much.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.